You don't fully understand that there's three functions that representatives have to perform. One is to inform the public, two is to legislate, and three is to have oversight. And so what we have with the release of this document that were the summary was an oversight. They conducted oversight and they released it to the public. Madison, Jefferson, James Wilson, George Washington, all felt that the most important function of representation was to inform the people as to what their government is doing. And so this is all that the Feinstein Committee has done thus far, but we need to see the entire record so that it could be probed. I'll give you an example. I'm very concerned about the egregious corruption that has brought about the incarceration of Dr. Afia Siddiqui. Now, does her name show up in the 150 names that are in the summary or in the several thousand names? Because she has been put in jail because, one, she's not a terrorist, and she suffered 5 years of rendition at the hands of the American government and the Pakistani government, who has paid off with bonuses for that. Amy, let me touch upon the arguments that are made with respect to the report that's already been released. And that is very simply that this is partisan. Well, it's not partisan. The study began in the committee with both the Democrats and Republicans. But when the Republican leadership began to see what was unfolding, well, they withdrew. They withdrew their staff people working on the documents. Now, what are the documents? And this goes to the issue, well, they didn't interview us. Well, you're going to interview these people? Do you think they're going to tell you the truth? These documents are internal emails, communications that really indict themselves in the wrongdoing. And that's what the documents show. So now, when we talk about that the partisanship, it's not the partisanship. This is not a Democratic deal. This is a very simple, straightforward, under the Constitution, reporting to the American people what their government has done. And the dialogue that just took place before I came on, it just shows the level of debasement of the American morality that's taken place over the years with we're not talking about people off the street doing this. We're talking about elites that are deeply involved with the military debasing our morality. And then the comment is, well, there's no reaction from the American people. There's no way for the people to react until Election Day. And by that time, it's too confused.
Well, Senator Gravel, to your decision in 1971 to speak out, I imagine that you were under pressure to not take the action that you did. What factored into your decision, and how did you prepare?
Well, I didn't have to prepare. When I was 23 years old, I was a top secret control officer in the Communications Intelligence Service. Now, back then, we wiretapped and opened people's mail wantonly. This was in Europe. Now, move forward. I'm now 42 years old, and I'm in the United States Senate. Nixon sends over the Pentagon Papers to the Senate and to the House.
15 seconds,
it's put in
Senator
a room
Gravel.
Under armed guard, and a senator, no staff members allowed, but a senator can't go in and even taking notes. Now, if at 42 and a United States senator, I can't do that, but when I was 23, I could do that wantonly. I mean, it shows you how silly we are trapped in this unbelievable culture of secrecy that is in the military and is permeated through the rest of our culture.
Mike
Example,
Gravel,
what's been talked about
recently. We have to wrap here, but we're going to do part two with you, and we're going to post it online at democracynow.org. Mike Gravel is the former U.S. senator from Alaska, best known for his release of the Pentagon Papers. He's calling on Mark Udall to do something similar. The senator from Colorado, the outgoing senator, is to get the Senate Intelligence Committee full thousands thousands of pages into the congressional record. That does it for our show. Happy birthday to Renee Feltz. I'll be speaking tonight in Washington, D.C. at Busboys and Poets at 5:30. Check our website, Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate.
This is Donna with your WUSB Concert Billboard. Your Concert Billboard for Sunday, December 7th. Joseph Perricone will be at the Grey Horse Tavern, 1 p.m. The Joe Vecino Band with Annie Aldeort, Carrie Carney, Mark Newman, and more. All at the Viking Restaurant in Islip, beginning at 2. Ellis Paul will be at the University Cafe, 2 p.m. right here. Stony Brook University. Terry Waldo's Gotham City Band will be at Fat Cat, Manhattan at 6. Celtic Thunder Symphony will be at the NYCB Theater at Westbury, 7 p.m. Sloan Wainwright and Friends will be at City Winery, beginning at 8. On your concert billboard for Monday, December 8th. The Oz Noy Trio will be at the Bitter End, Manhattan, 7 p.m. The Mostly Barbershop will be at the Dix Hills Performing Arts Center in Dix Hills.
Okay, and we just realized this is a week out of date. We're sorry about that, folks. They don't give us the dates on the thing. It's 6:03, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time now for Off the Wall. Thank you. Okay, sorry. I was reading some news, some web pages, just exploring. I lose track. I just kind of get sucked into various things. You know, I go to check a fact, and then that leads to 14 more facts and a story that, you know, you just have to kind of see how it ended. And then you get an amazing offer on your screen that you have to also follow up on. And before you know it, the whole hour is gone, and I've just played the theme the whole time. Don't want that to happen, because we have important things to do. We're even going to try to take phone calls today. Yes, despite the horrendous showing when we asked for phone calls last time, talking about, and actually phone calls are coming in now, and I'm not asking for them. It's like a battle of wills between the audience and the radio host here sometimes. Well, we'll be asking for phone calls a little bit later on. Hopefully some phone calls will come in, because, you know, we're talking about fairly interesting things out there. And I know, you know, it's this is a tough time of year. It really is, because, well, first of all, it's the holiday season, and that can be depressing. When you're a kid, it's great. You know, it's because everything is something to look forward to. At least, you know, in a lot of cases. I know not all kids have the best holidays. And actually, the ones that don't, they probably have it easier in the end, because they don't get depressed when they look back at their childhood when everything was great. And then when they become adults and things become more serious, you sort of get all sentimental and sad about the way things used to be, when they really weren't as great as you remember them in the first place. And certainly, in the sense of reality, were never that great anyway. Not that they're bad, they're just, they weren't painted in as bright a color as you might remember. And that's true of just about everything. It's all perception. So this time of year, you have that to think about. You've got coldness, you've got darkness, loneliness, and add the news on top of that. And it can really do a number on you. You know, there's all kinds of things going on in the world, horrible things. And it seems like we have a fascination and a hunger almost to hear more and more. And it can really have an adverse effect. And as a news junkie, as somebody who follows things from all over the world and has a passion for it, even I can get affected by it, where it's an overdose and you have to step away. And you should not feel bad about that. You know, all these protest demonstrations over the past few weeks, it takes a lot out of you. I haven't even gone to any, and it takes a lot out of me, because you're constantly hearing and participating in whatever way you can. And it just seems like there is so much negativity and anger, necessary anger, but not enough positive stuff. And you really, really need that. You need the positive outlook to move ahead, no matter how bad things are. And this is especially true of people who are going through rough patches in their lives. Because like I said, everything is perspective. You have the control over how you view a situation. And this is something I've kind of realized over the years, ever since I was a kid, actually. You know, one day I could look at going to school or visiting somebody in the city or just anything, really, as a happy event. And the next time it could be a sad event, just because I'm in a bad mood, just because I'm thinking about something else. In other words, I'm shaping the scenery to fit however I'm feeling at that particular moment. So you can look at next year, 2015, and you can say, wow, things are going to get really horrible, and it's just going to get worse, the economy and terrorists and hackers and everything you can think of, and just get yourself really depressed. But that's you. The reality is the reality. And that's subjective. Everybody sees that differently. And everybody sees that in multiple ways, because you, the next day, can look at the same reality and have a sense of adventure, a sense of wonder, a sense of mischief. The scene has not changed. The only thing that has changed is how you choose to view it. And it's not always a choice. I realize this. You know, moods are weird things, and they're shaped by the things outside you and a harsh word or a nagging pain or financial problems or finals or all kinds of things can shape the way you view everything. So those things that you would see as a challenge become a burden you can't escape from simply because you're overwhelmed. And that's why we have to step away sometimes from all the crap that's going on in the world. That's horrible and depressing. I mean, you know, depressing as it is for us to hear about, imagine how depressing it is for the people to live through. But it doesn't mean we should not come back to it. Doesn't mean we should ignore it and not confront it. And feel good about confronting it. Feel empowered. And feel as if our voices might actually make a difference. Because they do. Our voices really are all we have. And they can do incredible things. Just communication. So I'm hoping people out there, if they're going through, I imagine a lot of people are, because all the people I talk to seem to be going through something. Basically, remember that we're all in this together, one way or another. And you have control. You have complete control over how you view things. Of course, obviously, those of us who are clinically depressed and, you know, need medication and things like that aren't completely in control without that. And that's a whole other complicated issue. And a number of people I know have to deal with that as well. It's a challenge. But how you deal with that challenge can also dictate how you get through future challenges and the current ones. All right. Wasn't planning on saying any of that, but it just kind of hit me all of a sudden that, there's a lot going on. A lot of, things in the news and things that we see around us and the time of year. And it's just, it's a burden. It's a lot to handle. It's a lot to ask. And the way to get through it is to come together and share, communicate, commiserate, whatnot. And also to acknowledge and, of course, we are talking about the now very competitive Dumbass of the Week Awards, which I'm sort of regretting starting because there's just too many competitors for this, and it gets a little bitter sometimes. A lot of people seem to think Dick Cheney should be Dumbass of the Week. No, it's not. You're not understanding the purpose of the feature. Dick Cheney can be a dumbass, but It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate for this. And we'll get into what he said this week, but he's more of like a Satan of the week. How about that? And we don't have theme music for that. You know, he is evil incarnate. It would be a mockery to many things if we just called him dumbass. No, he doesn't. This is supposed to be a bit of levity, and what he is about is not at all. The darkness that, we'll get into that. This week, it's kind of a shared award between this guy named Patrick Lynch and the entire Policemen's Benevolent Association of New York, Patrolmen's Benevolent Association of New York. In fact, let's clear that up right now. A lot of people think it's Policemen's Benevolent Association, the PBA. No, it's not. It's Patrolmen's Benevolent Association. Maybe we can get them for being sexist by saying patrolmen, but regardless, they are dumbasses, all of them, but their spokesperson, Patrick Lynch, I think should be the one to be awarded the actual trophy because he's been saying a lot of stupid things lately concerning the way the new mayor of New York City, actually he's not that new anymore, he's been there almost a year, how he has dealt with the situation following the declining of the grand jury to indict the officer who killed Eric Garner. The case that everyone's talking about, or everyone was talking about, hopefully we will still focus on this. Basically, they have chosen to take offense at the fact that the mayor is acknowledging that people are upset, that nobody is going to be prosecuted for killing this guy who wasn't hurting anybody, who wasn't armed, and who was trying to tell people that he couldn't breathe. Of course, you know, if you listen to people like last week's dumbass, Peter King, if he can say he can't breathe, then that means he can breathe, and that means he's lying, et cetera, et cetera, but trying to blame the victim. But in this particular case, they have gone so far, the PBA, and I'm for unions. I really am. But these guys, you know, if this will make me into somebody that is anti-union because of the way that they abuse their standing and don't acknowledge that they can ever do anything wrong and attack anybody who criticizes them. It's intimidation. And when you have all of your members walking around the streets with guns and ammunition, it's it becomes something really disturbing that needs to be dealt with one way or another. They basically have banned the mayor. They have banned the this is the most incredible thing. They banned the mayor from attending funerals of any cops that get killed in the future. Or at least they have expressed their will to do that. They would like for the mayor to stay away from that. It's the most divisive, stupid, sulky response. And when you think about it, these are supposed to be cops. They're supposed to be mature. They're supposed to be able to deal with being insulted, being confronted, dangerous situations. They can't even take mild criticism. And it was mild criticism. The mayor didn't say anything negative about the police department other than people are rightfully angered by the fact that there is no responsibility being taken for this. Nobody being held accountable. Didn't say anything about cops being out of control and we really need to do something. He did say we need to retrain people. And apparently that in itself is enough of an insult for them to be really, really mad at him. Patrick Lynch said de Blasio had thrown NYPD officers under the bus. Well, I don't see how. By acknowledging that there is a problem, and everybody in the world seems to believe there is a problem, how is that throwing them under the bus? That is basically saving their asses, because if somebody doesn't do something, I don't know where this is going to go. But you're basically going to have an occupying power in cities all throughout the country, and people who are really, really resentful and angry, and you think that what happened in Ferguson was ugly. Imagine that happening all throughout the country on a regular basis. It's not that far from reality. And think about a year ago, if I had told you that Ferguson was going to happen, that the scenes that we saw in the streets of Ferguson were an imminent reality, probably would have said, no, that's not possible. Well, lots and lots of things are possible when people are continually abused and realize they have no voice and no justice. And there are so many cases just in the last few months. The case of the poor guy in the Walmart store, that hasn't gotten enough attention. You know, here's a guy who basically goes into Walmart. He goes there to get supplies for a barbecue for his family. And he sees a BB gun on the shelf. And he's talking to somebody on the phone. And he's walking around. He picks it up from they're selling it. They sell these things in Walmart. And before he knows it, because he's a black guy walking around Walmart carrying what looks like a gun that they sell on an open shelf, they shoot him dead. And then after that, this is what came out this week. After that, they interrogated his girlfriend as if she was a criminal. Because they wanted to know why he was carrying a gun inside the store. And this is an example. This is what white people cannot understand. It would not have happened to them. They could have walked around that Walmart carrying that BB gun and not be seen as a threat and not have been confronted in the way this guy was confronted by the cops and shot. Just like the kid in Cleveland. When I think of the number of kids running around playgrounds with toy guns, and back when I was a kid, they weren't painted orange. But we didn't have cops almost running us over and then shooting us. We didn't have that. So in many ways, things are worse now than they were, because the level of violence has simply gone up so much, and so many of us are blind to it. So yeah, you know, there is a problem. And for the PBA not to be willing to acknowledge this and work with this, that underlines the problem more than anything. So guys, I think you're dumbasses of the month, because, well, maybe even more than that, because not only are you acting like, you know, kids throwing a temper tantrum because they're not being bought enough candy or whatever, but you're actually making the situation so much worse. And showing everybody that, yeah, these guys are out of control. They don't know how to deal with situations. All right, so that's that. Now, I said we'd get to Cheney. Yeah, Meet the Press. I guess a lot of us saw Meet the Press. You know, this guy is unreal. And to think that he was a heartbeat away from actually being the president and the most powerful person in the world. We all knew he was evil. We all knew this. And we kind of thought it was funny because, yeah, it sort of was. But it really came out this week. I mean, the torture report was released a week ago. And we've since gone through a lot of that and seen the horrible things that we have done. And yes, we, because we elect these people, we support these people, and until we actually get these people onto a plane to The Hague and have them prosecuted for what they've done, we're complicit, completely. And unfortunately, a lot of us simply think that the United States is immune from this, and that somehow we have justification for behaving like barbarians because, well, they did it to us. Well, again, you know, you can go back and forth and say who started what where, but as soon as you lower yourself to the level where certain things are okay, which never would have been okay before, you've lost something amazing. You've lost that element that made your beliefs, your culture, your history, that made all of that something precious. You've lost that, and it's going to be one hell of a fight to get it back. That's why it was important to release this. All right? That's why it was important to acknowledge this. Sure, there's a risk in doing this, but there's a risk in not doing it as well. In fact, there's more than one risk for not doing it, because the risk is that we won't learn anything. And there's always a risk that somebody's going to get angry and do something nasty somewhere in the world, but you can't live your life based on that kind of fear. So Dick Cheney is all for the torture. Of course, he doesn't call it torture, because when you call it torture, I guess you can't really get away with it. So every time he was asked if he supported torture, he basically would turn the conversation around and say that torture was what happened on 9/11, basically throwing 9/11 into the mix. And yeah, you know, 9/11 was a horrible thing, absolutely, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're talking about what the reaction and what the further actions were in the decade plus since then, and whether those were justified. And this is something that he simply will not acknowledge, will not express any kind of regret for. And he just basically said all these things that were not true. We got to the point where we were very concerned about the possible linkage between terrorists on the one hand and the weapons of mass destruction on the other. Saddam Hussein had previously had twice nuclear programs going. He produced and used weapons of mass destruction. He had a 10-year relationship with al-Qaeda. Things that were proven not to be true, which basically started a war completely based on a lie. Cheney says he would do it again in a minute. I have no problem as long as we achieve our objective. It's really hard to even digest some of this. But one of the things he said that really, really hit me, I'm more concerned with bad guys who got out and were released than I am with a few that in fact were innocent. Because this is a guy who basically, the fact of the matter is that people were held in Guantanamo Bay who were basically victims of mistaken identity, and they were tortured. Tortured severely, and there's just no other way to describe the things that they went through. And I don't want to go into the particulars because, well, they're everywhere already, and it's I don't need to be even more depressing. But, you know, there's somebody else who had a nice counter-argument to this, all right? And here's the quote. It is better 100 guilty persons should escape than that one innocent person should suffer. You know who said that? Benjamin Franklin said that. You could not get more diametrically opposed to Benjamin Franklin than Dick Cheney. That is how far we have come. So when we point to our founding fathers and say these guys are basically living up to those ideals, no, they are not. They have come about. They are facing in completely the opposite direction. And we need to do something about that. And acknowledging this, that's a first step. It's a first step, but it's only a first step. Many more steps need to be taken, and people like this cannot be tolerated. They are threats. They are substantial threats. Now, there's all kinds of horrible things going on in the world, as we have mentioned. But, you know, what I find interesting is how we perceive them. Driving over here, you would think the number one story would be the absolutely horrendous event that took place overnight. And that was the killing of over 100 kids, about 150 kids in Pakistan by the Pakistan Taliban. Went into a school and massacred all these kids. Top story on CNN that I was listening to is Sony being hacked. And whether or not hackers are threatening theater owners on Christmas Day with violence if they show the movie about Kim Jong-un being assassinated. That is the top story. Because they made a reference to 9/11. They said something like, people will realize what a horrible film this is and remember 9/11. Well, you know, Dick Cheney said basically the same thing. Remember 9/11 every time he opens his mouth. In this particular case, they're choosing to look at it as a threat of some sort. But we're talking about a corporation. We're talking about a corporation that had apparently horrible security and made very bad decisions. I mean, just the idea of making a film about assassinating somebody who really exists, you could see how that might offend somebody. You could see how that might lead to some kind of retributive action. Not even saying that North Korea had anything to do with this, but you could sort of see why this would be a sensitive issue. And now we're seeing if they are responsible for it, we're seeing the ramifications of it, or maybe we're seeing sympathizers who are doing something. But in any event, we're seeing what horribly bad security will get you and what happens when you store all this information online in an accessible way, when you store movies that haven't been released yet for some reason online. Valuable lessons that should have been taught in the 1980s are now being learned. But regardless, it's not the top story. Those poor kids in Pakistan, that's the top story. What happened to them? The horror and fear that they're going through. But even that, even when you don't take the Sony story into consideration, the Sydney, Australia story still trumps the Pakistani. And of course, they're all horrible. You had a gunman taking over a cafe in Sydney, Australia and killing two people. And everybody was watching this for almost a full day. I'm just wondering why, when 150 kids get massacred in a school, why the same attention is not given to them, or even more attention. There was nothing near the coverage of that particular event than there was of the cafe. And I'm not saying that we should ignore one story and just focus on the other. I'm saying that they're all horrible stories that deserve some kind of coverage and not just to be swept under the rug as, oh, that part of the world again. And yeah, they're all out of control. That's what leads to generalizations, to not understanding things, to not caring. And There's too much of that going on. So, yeah, that was that's an ongoing thing. And I do not understand how any organization can expect to survive after something like this. You saw the situation in Russia a few years ago. Actually, that was 10 years ago, where a bunch of kids got killed in the school after being held hostage for a number of days. And didn't really do much for the cause of, I don't even know what the cause was. I don't know if it was a Chechenian thing or some other region, but sure didn't win them any popular support. And this particular case, the Pakistani Taliban, they basically self-destructed last night. It's a competition. I actually think they're ahead of Dick Cheney as far as pure evil goes. But then if you wipe out a whole lot of people remotely or wipe them out in person, I'm not sure which is worse. All I know is this is a horrible turn of events and deserves to be acknowledged as such and seen as an opportunity to maybe lead to some more understanding. All right. Shall we cheer up a little bit? Yeah, it's the anniversary of the school shooting at Sandy Hook. Oh, yes. I don't really want to get into this because this just basically makes me feel like people are so incredibly misguided that nothing is going to wake them up. But yeah, 2 years after the Newton, Connecticut school shooting, we have more guns than ever, more school shootings. We don't seem to have learned anything. At least 94 incidents, including fatal and non-fatal assaults, suicides, unintentional shootings, 94 incidents have taken place across 33 states since that horrible event that affect schools. During the last 3 months alone, there were 16 school shootings, including a single week in which there were 5 incidents in 5 separate states. These school shootings resulted in 45 deaths and 78 non-fatal gunshot injuries, and in 32% of these incidents, at least one person died. The answer to all this is to pass legislation making it easier to get guns. That is how we deal with things here. In Texas, for instance, get this. Texas, I'm a little bit surprised by this. You'd think that they would have no rules whatsoever, but they do. They do have rules. And apparently you can't openly carry a handgun in Texas. You can't openly carry a handgun. You can conceal a handgun, but you can't openly carry a handgun. You can openly carry what's known as a long gun, but you can't. I can't really understand the thinking. I'm sure there is thinking behind it, but it escapes me. Anyway, that could all change in 2015 as there's legislation to roll back a 140-year ban. And if they do this, it would be the largest state to have done this. Open carry drew wide support in the 2014 statewide election. At least 6 bills have already been filed for the upcoming session, which starts in January. The new governor, Governor-elect Greg Abbott, has already pledged to sign one into law if sent to his desk. Here's what one person says in support of changing the rules. In 1.5 seconds, a man can run 25 feet with a knife in his hands and stab you before you get your gun out. If your weapon is concealed, you're dead. So you see where this has gone. You know, these people that have basically said, yeah, we must be able to conceal our weapons and carry them with us at all times. But now that's not good enough. Now they have to be out in the open so that you can grab them quicker. But going back to the gunfights of the Old West, where people are running at you with knives 25 feet and you need time to get your weapon out. This is what's going on over there. Now, as I said, Texas allows the public display of long guns, such as rifles and shotguns. Open carry advocates have staged high-profile rallies at the Alamo and state capitol. Concealed handguns are allowed inside the capitol, where license holders can bypass metal detectors. Yeah, I said that. Licensed gun holders don't have to go through metal detectors when they go into the state capitol. Why even bother having a metal detector? Seriously, it's there to detect weapons. And yet you're allowing people to have weapons. And why? Just because they have a license. And invariably, if you ask, what sense does this make? Why would you need a weapon to go into the state capitol? And they'll probably point to something that happened in Ottawa last month, where some lunatic got into the state capitol with a weapon and somebody else with a weapon shot him. In fact, it was the sergeant at arms. So basically the argument is that you need weapons because people have weapons and you have to fight them. And it just goes on and on from there. In Washington State, Olympia, Washington, about 1,000 gun rights advocates, many openly carrying rifles and handguns, rallied on Saturday outside the Capitol to protest a new expanded gun background check law in Washington State. Organizers of the I Will Not Comply rally promised to exchange and sell firearms without conducting background checks during the day-long rally in opposition to the state's voter-approved universal background check law. Initiative 594 passed with 59% of the vote last month. And Jeff Potter served as a spokesman for the pro-initiative campaign, said the rally was a very loud but very, very narrow and unrepresentative view of what the people of Washington have clearly demonstrated they want on background checks and gun laws. See, it's, the thing that's amazing to me, what's happening in Washington is these people don't want to even make sure that anyone buying guns is mentally fit, has a long criminal background, is generally not the kind of person that should have a weapon. Combine that with waltzing into the state capitol without any kind of check of weapons, and it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare, and it's based on what exactly? Think about this. Think about the people who would support such a thing. Dick Cheney would be right there, number one in line. Look how far removed he is from the words of Ben Franklin. Maybe he's just as far removed from the thoughts on issues like this. If the Founding Fathers were around today, I think they'd have a number of things to say about a lot of the craziness that's going on. Way too much of it. But you can't ignore it. You have to absolutely confront these things and challenge them. And not let a bunch of people, whether they're cops or people rallying outside state capitals or anybody who is threatening people with guns in one way or another, explicit or implied, you can't let them win just because of that. All right, and that's all I got right now. 631-632-6901 is our phone number. I said we'd take some phone calls. Some programming notes. Next week is a abbreviated program because we have a game at 6:45. So not sure we'll be able to take phone calls then. And the week after that, not going to be here. There will be travel shows on. In fact, I was just going through some of them. We have some Autobahn shows where we're driving on a super fast highway in Germany. And we have some programs featuring Spain and Portugal as well. So there's that to look forward to in the weeks ahead. So, 631-632-6901. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go into delay and hope that it works because we had a failure of the board before. Not everything is working here, so I'm not sure this is going to work, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And Let's just keep our fingers crossed.
Peter Parcel Patterson's Big Porky listens to WUSB, Stony Brook. Peter Tork telling you so.
Did it work? I'll know in a few seconds, and you'll know shortly after that. You know, I realize, and I just found out that it worked. I realize that I'm ahead of everybody else right now because I know things that will happen before anybody else knows they'll happen. So right now, I just clap my hands. But you're not going to know I did that for another 6 seconds, all right? You just found out about it now. There must be a way I can make this pay off. All right, let's take some phone calls, 631-632-6901. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I can't complain. Hey, listen, didn't you guys used to have a pretty VFQ signal in the Smithtown? I just came through Smithtown, and I, you know, granted that I was coming through town and the, you know, the buildings and stuff were around. They didn't send you guys up there up on the hill. Is it the radiation portion of it? Does it go over to the west at all, or what?
I'm having a little trouble understanding you. Now, in Smithtown, something about radiation, what?
The antenna you guys transmit from, why isn't it a clean signal in Smithtown?
Oh, why isn't our signal, our transmitter in Bald Hill, why isn't it transmitting in Smithtown cleanly?
Why is it not? It used to be a cleaner signal. I went through it, and it was almost like it was very far away.
Well, what were you hearing?
Noise. Tetradining, that sort of stuff.
Were you hearing another station or just...
It wasn't that bad. I would have given up. Then it wasn't that bad. It was just a lot of noise. I mean, granted, I was going through a lot of buildings.
Right.
But I was just curious as to why the signal... I mean, I've gone through a test there in the past and it hasn't been bad.
Well, FM signals are weird because sometimes weather can affect them and all kinds of atmospheric conditions. And what you're describing sounds like multipath where it bounces off buildings and things like that. But we have had severe problems with stations in Connecticut that are overreaching on our frequency and other. Sometimes we have problems ourselves with our actual transmitter. But this is something that I take it happened recently, and we should probably go over there and look into this to make sure, because Smithtown should not be one of those places that we're not getting to.
Okay, no, I didn't. I mean, I'm sure that if you were a little higher in an area where there wasn't any buildings, it probably wouldn't be as bad.
Well, we're pretty high, so it shouldn't be a height issue.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, is there anything else on your mind besides our
poll? No, that was pretty much it. Well, let me ask you another question.
Yes.
How do you feel about the mayor of New York City? Do you like him? Do you not like him?
It's interesting because I keep running into him. On Inauguration Day, I managed to get my picture taken with him because he invited the whole city to do that. Well, not the whole city, but people who could get tickets. And then I ran into him once in the Village, and then another time down by City Hall. So it's kind of weird. He's out there on the street quite a lot. So I like him for that. I like him for basically not backing down on the things that he stood up for. A lot of people are saying he's not doing enough, but I know politics moves slowly. I know there are all kinds of hurdles and hindrances that prevent you from doing exactly what you want to do. But I've seen nothing to indicate that he has backed down on anything that he believes in. And the way he has handled the whole Eric Garner situation, I think, has been admirable and something that people need. Cops are not the only people in the city. And unfortunately, mayors before him would treat cops as if they were the ones that mattered and the people were secondary. And I think it needs to be on a more even keel. And he seems to have done that so far.
All right. I was just curious to see what you thought.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think of him?
Well, I live out here on the island, and to be honest with you, from what I read in the paper, I'm not really all that happy with him. You know, just the fact that he's not as pro-police as he should be, and it doesn't seem like he's doing the same. He seems like he's pandering a lot to Sharpton and all like that. I'm just like,
Okay, let me just stop you right there. First of all, you undoubtedly are reading Newsday, right?
The three newspapers, yeah.
Okay, and you undoubtedly delve into the comments section of these papers, correct?
From time to time, yeah.
It's hard to resist, I know. Listen, Sharpton is one person, and every white person I know focuses on Sharpton with this hostility level that is unmeasurable. He happens to be, he gets himself injected into every situation like this, but he's also welcomed into that because people see in him an opportunity to get the message out. What he is saying, for the most part, is true. There are situations where there's a lot of inequity out there. It needs to be confronted and dealt with. Yeah, he doesn't show up when it's a white person who has been killed by a cop or something like that. And maybe somebody else needs to do that. I don't know. He can't be everywhere at the same time. But the fact is, he is a representative. He is only one person. There are many people. He's not speaking just because of himself. I don't understand the hostility that I see towards him. I'd rather see people focus on what he's talking about. And there's not enough of that. Now, and you also mentioned that de Blasio is not pro-cop enough. Why does a mayor have to be so pro-cop? Shouldn't he be pro the people who elected him, pro the people that he's representing? That's what true representation is. And the cops, yeah, be as pro-cop as you are pro-trash man, pro-plumber, pro all the people that are working to make our society better. But when there's a situation where they're not doing that, where a lot of people are feeling threatened, you have to deal with that. You can't pretend it doesn't exist.
Well, that's true. I guess I'm probably just used to the previous couple of administrations.
Oh, yeah. And think how long that lasted for. So it's going to take a while to kind of jar ourselves out of that that reality.
Yeah, I suppose you're right about that. All right, well, I'll let somebody else on.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Not a problem. I appreciate you taking it.
And we actually have somebody else, I think. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk about chemtrails.
Chemtrails? Okay, well, we haven't touched on those, so go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay. I want to know why we're not being told what's coming out of these jets.
Well, if something bad is coming out of those jets, that's why you're not being told. And if nothing bad is coming out of them, that's why you're not being told. I don't know enough about the subject. There's only so much room in my heads, but... But... Do you want to enlighten us as to what you believe is going on?
Well, it's geoengineering. They're trying to block the sun to slow down global warming is the excuse, except that they're saying it's a good idea that we might try it down the road. The fact of the matter is they've been doing it since the 90s.
Uh-huh. Okay, and who is they?
Whoever it is that's spraying the sky.
Okay.
You see the lines going across the sky. I'm not sure how old you are, but...
Well, I mean, that's something that jets produce everywhere.
But
that's...
they never produce them that go from one side of the sky to the other and linger all day long and go into a hazy, blocking the sun type of atmosphere.
Again, I don't know enough about it to say whether or not that's caused by atmosphere or different chemicals being used in the exhaust. It's certainly something that...
Hey, well, we're supposed to have an environmental protection agency that's supposed to oversee that the jets are not emitting extensive amounts of exhaust, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
It seems that they're doing much more exhaust coming out of them than ever before.
Well, what tells you that there's a cover-up? What tells you that people who know are not sharing this information?
Well, because nobody is.
Yeah, but how do you know that? How do you know that there's information out there that we're not getting if we don't have the information?
Because I'm not getting any of the information, and it's something I pay attention to.
Uh-huh. Okay, but you believe something particular is going on with these chemtrails from airplanes. I know a lot of people, it's a subject that you can look up on the net and find out all kinds of things about. How much of it has scientific backing? How much of it has experts that are out there saying this is definitely a threat to us and a threat all around the world?
Being suppressed by the media,
mm-hmm.
being suppressed by the people who report the weather.
But why? Why would they be suppressing? I can see why the government would be suppressing. Why would the people reporting the weather and the news media, why would they be suppressing it?
Because they're being told to.
That's it? Just because they're being told to?
I'm not sure. I'm asking you what your views are.
Well, nobody has told me not to talk about this, so I'm perfectly happy talking about it. But, again, I don't know enough about it to be able to be...
Did you say somebody told you not to talk about it?
I said nobody told me not to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably because nobody cares what I think. But the important thing is to keep asking questions, to keep digging, and not to believe that it's off limits. If there is something out there... We'll eventually find it.
There is a site called Geoengineering Watch.
Okay.
I would think you can get some information in there. There has been plenty of soil samples and water samples in areas that are highly sprayed that show that there's the residue from these sprays is high in aluminum and barium and strontium. And it's very harmful to the ground, to the soil, to the plants, to the humans. When you breathe these nanoparticulates, aluminum, it goes right up your nostril and affects your brain, and it causes Alzheimer's and brain tumors. And I have raised this subject with some nurses in Stony Brook Hospital when I was in there a few months ago, and they were kind of not paying attention about it until I mentioned that it causes Alzheimer's and brain tumors. And the same reaction from each one of them that I told this to, their mouths fell open, and they said there's been a huge spike in the last few years in Alzheimer's and brain tumors.
And that's something alone that begs more research. Why is this happening? Obviously, something is causing it, and your theory is as good as any theory and should be looked into. Absolutely. Thanks for your call. Keep looking into this. Keep us updated.
I would like to hear you look into it also. I have been for a few years.
Okay. I'll definitely start looking and reading and seeing what different viewpoints are out there. Hopefully something can be done.
A lot of cover-up with it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's all we have time for tonight. It's true. But thanks for people who called in. Yeah, my feeling on that is that there are all kinds of things, all kinds of evil garbage that's being pumped into the atmosphere and the earth and the water that hurts us because people don't care, because it doesn't affect them right away, but it sure affects us down the road. And yeah, it's another thing to get kind of depressed about, I suppose, or to take action, spread information, and learn, not feel completely powerless, because we're not. We never are. Hey, I found out something this week that I thought was kind of interesting. Our county, Suffolk County, we're going to be getting a second area code. Yeah, we used to be 516, along with Nassau County. Now we're 631, but apparently we used up, or we're using up, all the phone numbers in the entire, which is an incredible amount of phone numbers. It really is, but apparently because so many people are getting, well, they're not getting fax lines, are they? I don't think anybody's getting those anymore. But cell phones, they're not getting beepers. I don't know where all these phone numbers are coming from, but apparently people are getting lots and lots of phone numbers. How many phone numbers do you have? Ask yourself this. If you have something like 5 phone numbers, then you're part of the reason why this is happening. But most people I know don't have that. Anyway, so we don't know what the new code is going to be, but it's going to start sometime in 2016, and that's exciting news. But the bad part about all this is that it's going to be what's known as an overlay. What that means is that it's not going to be geographically defined. It'll be an area code that pretty much shares Suffolk County with 631. And what that means is that for every phone call you make, you will have to dial the area code, even if it's yours. Yeah. And they say that that means everybody will have to dial 10 digits. Actually, you have to dial 11 digits, because don't forget the 1. Major pain in the ass. And of course, you know, looking at this story in Newsday, with the wonderful paper I mentioned before with their lovely comments, you roll down to the comments on this, and even this story brings out the people that say, you know what, it's all because of those illegal aliens that live on Long Island that use all the phone numbers up. What is there to say? OTW@2600.com is our email address. Stay tuned for Finn coming up next. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. We'll be back next week with an abbreviated show. Travel shows after that. Have a happy holiday. Stay positive. And we'll see you soon. Good night. Going each and every place, with the mic in their hand. Houston, Delaware.
Dallas. We on a war tour with Mohammed, my man. Going each and every bitch with the mic in their hand. New York, NC, NCVA.
Was their emissions reductions to save the planet. $2.5 billion have been pledged for every each year for 4 years. That is how much people...
Hey kids, Finn with you. Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Going to be rocking and rolling for this first hour. Some crazy things, including lots of new stuff, old stuff and new stuff from the new Kinks box set, some new stuff from Lost Straitjackets, plus a whole bunch of other things. In the second hour, of course, we're going to dip into our holiday grab bag, baby, so stay tuned.
so all alone. Whoa, 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 yeah. Oh, it's a lonely planet, joy, when you miss some from your other boys. That's when I'm a lonely planet boy. I'm trying, or I'm crying, baby, for your love. Ooh, 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 yeah. Oh, it's so lonely. Oh. Some from your other boys. That's when I'm a lonely planet.